about how we human beings act? Those are the questions that the first reading from the Book of Wisdom poses for us. Those are the questions that sprung up in the prayer of King Solomon. The Hebrew scriptures attest to the fact that throughout his life, Solomon made strenuous efforts to know what God wanted him to do and how God wanted him to behave. But as he acknowledges in this prayer, it is sometimes difficult to know for sure what God wants in any particular situation. Solomon also reminds us that our judgment about what is the best way to act can be clouded at times, and that our motives for behaving the way we do are often mixed. Is it really all that important to know what God thinks? Do we really need to know what's in God's heart? You bet it is. We believe that God not only created us, but that he created us for a purpose. Surely that should motivate us to learn what pleases God. More importantly, we believe that if we are able to discover what God wants for us and for our world, and if we manage to act accordingly, we will become better human beings, more loving, more generous, more forgiving. But how can we learn what God wants from us? Solomon had a point. It is difficult to know the mind and heart of God. However, it's not impossible. For one thing, unlike Solomon, we Christians have the benefit of knowing Jesus. During his lifetime, Jesus revealed to us who God is and what God wants, not simply through his teaching, but even more so by the way he treated people. For example, he may have used words to teach the disciples about God's infinite compassion, but it was when they saw Jesus' heartfelt sympathy toward that widowed mother who was burying her only son, and watched him raise that dead boy back to life, they had a clearer idea of how he wanted them to interact with others from the heart. Jesus may have used words to assure the disciples that all people are God's children, but it was when they witnessed him embracing people who were shunned by others, like that leper he healed, that the message really hit home. If all people are God's children, that means they are also my brothers and sisters, and I should care for them that way. Jesus may have used parables, like the prodigal son, to teach the disciples about God's inexhaustible capacity to forgive. But it was through the kindness and friendship he showed towards sinners, like Zacchaeus, the tax collector, or the woman taken in adultery, that he shows us how we should treat people who hurt us, and even people who do evil things. In other words, Jesus taught us that God's heart is grounded in infinite mercy, bottomless compassion, unfailing gentleness. And so if we want to know this merciful heart of God, we have to look to Jesus and strive to be like him. Several years ago, the slogan WWJD was all the rage. What would Jesus do? It was an attempt to live out concretely in everyday life what it means to be a follower of Jesus. For instance, I might ask myself, if Jesus were part of my family, how would he act toward my sister who is so angry that she won't even speak to me? Then, as I quietly stand off to the side and, in my imagination, observe how Jesus relates to her with infinite mercy, bottomless compassion, and unfailing gentleness, I might realize that my attitude toward her should be the same. Or I might ask, if Jesus were part of my school, how would he act toward that classmate who is always saying hurtful things to me? Then, as I consider how Jesus acts toward that classmate, again, with infinite mercy, bottomless compassion, and unfailing gentleness, I might realize that that is the attitude that I should strive for. It's crucial to remember that the answer to the question, what would Jesus do, will not be found up here in the head. It doesn't come from reasoning that because Jesus is good and forgiving, therefore I should be like that too. Rather, the answer to the question, WWJD, will be found down here in the heart. It's not good enough just to think the way that Jesus thinks. I also need to try to feel the way that Jesus feels about other people, especially people I find difficult or burdensome. And that is not easy. In fact, I may not succeed in feeling as gentle or as compassionate or as patient toward others as Jesus does. I may not even understand with any certainty how Jesus wants me to act in any given situation. But the important thing is that each day I make an honest effort to put on the mind and heart of Christ, as St. Paul encouraged his friends, the Philippians. This idea of making an honest effort to think and feel as Jesus does, even if I wind up getting it wrong, reminds me of a prayer of Thomas Merton. I'm sure some of you already know it. Merton prayed like this: "My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that my desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in everything I do. For I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it." In other words, if I really have the desire to know the heart and mind of Jesus, so that I can begin to think and feel as Jesus does, then I trust that God will accept my honest efforts to live like that, and will eventually lead me to have a heart that is more like the heart of Jesus.